Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? Good. So we are in spiritual warfare. And today what I want to do is, where do we start with spiritual warfare? So last week we did a basic overview and just talking points, things that you can refer back to and say, okay, all right, this is kind of what we're going to cover over the course of this. So we'll learn how to walk in it and understand it scripturally, what is the warfare and all of that. But now today, we're going to just lay like a foundation for the strategy to fight a spiritual war. And we know that the scripture that we're reading is Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Can somebody please read that out loud?
Ephesians
6, 10 through 12.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
Amen.
So this has sparked us to say, man, we got to look at this unseen world. Because there's a fight. He says, you are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not losing our, you remember those symptoms? I'm going to read some of the symptoms again. A weakened prayer life. Spiritual desire is gone or diminishing. Sudden fighting and chaos. Sudden sickness. Sudden hardship. Physically fatigued. Old ways start to seem appealing again. Godly relationships start to dissolve. Confusion comes about. Confusion about your future. Confusion about scripture. Confusion about who God is. Confusion about who the devil is. Confusion about salvation. Confusion about how do you raise your children. Then there's this condemnation that comes in because you get confused. You start acting out of character. You're doing things you know you shouldn't do. And then the enemy comes in. He pummels you. See, look at you. He looks to condemn you, accuse you, and to embrace yourself as someone that God did not call you to be or create you to be. And then there's isolation. The guilt, the shame, the condemnation drives you into a hole. And now you don't want to be around people and not even around God. You don't know how to approach him. You feel ashamed. You got this legalistic mindset that I got to fix this. I got to get myself together. I can't go to church anymore because I don't want to be around. And then now you're isolated. And now you're in a place to be destroyed. Recurrent temptations then come back. The same thing. And then when the enemy gets you in that loop of the same recurrent temptations, and then you slip up and you do it, and then he just blames it all on you. And you just feel like, yes, something's wrong with me. I'm losing it. But you don't realize he's just saying in your own tone of voice, something's wrong with me. I'm losing it. I don't love God like I used to. I used to be this, but I'm not that anymore. You don't even realize that's just the enemy playing with your mind. When in your heart, you know you love the Lord. You know Jesus is the Lord. You know he was sent to save you. You know God is gracious and merciful. You know that. But what does it say? The enemy is the most subtle beast of the field. He can make you think you're thinking something that you're not even thinking. You don't even believe that, right? And then you start feeling defeated. You're losing. You're not the same. How are you going to get back? How are you going to get out of this? You know, you can do some things for so long. Or you can get on God's side and you will never get what you once had. As if the grace of God has changed. As if his mercy is Remember what David said? God, is your mercy clean gone? He said, no, but I will remember what God. I will remember the same God that saved me before, that he is the same God that can save me now. Amen.
Amen.
And then if he can get you into that place where you're feeling defeated, then he'll start getting you to focus on everything in your life. See, look at that. That's just an indication that you separated from God. See, look at that. See, that just means God not on your side. See, look at that. That's just a sin. You're being ruined. And then you start to just change your whole focus. And because you created to be glorious, you created to show forth the praises of God, but you don't feel like you can show forth the praises of God, you got to start showing forth your own praises. Now you just focus on your own life and just surviving in a very temporary world in a glorious fashion. And it has nothing to do with the life to come. So, when we look at why so many Christians are in this battle, and why are so many, and I'm not talking, listen, I didn't say why so many people that call themselves Christians, why so many people that think they Christians are losing. I'm saying, why are there so many people that really love the Lord, really respect the Lord, really have in their heart that there is only one true God and only one true Savior and only one way to God, and that's through him. People who you can wrestle them down to the ground and get a chokehold on them and tell them to renounce their faith, and they'd be like, just kill me. But yet they suffer these symptoms, going through it, feeling the blame for it, not realizing you're in a war. And you're not wrestling against whether it's somebody else's flesh or your own flesh. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities. What do principalities do? Principalities, and this is, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we're talking about the lack of understanding. Understanding what? The lack of understanding that you're wrestling against a ruler. Someone who rules dark things. Someone who is crafty and very given to detail. Someone who has, it says, that you may stand against the wiles, the strategies. The one who has a drawing board that's specific to your life. A plan, looking at, okay, his granddaddy. Okay, so, all right, fellas, come around here. How do we destroy? How do we destroy this man? How do we destroy this woman? How do we destroy? It's a strategy. It's got checkpoints, value systems, initiatives, performance and values and goals and all of this. It's a complete, very well-defined strategy to destroy you. So if we lack understanding that there's a real war going on that we can't see, like Miles brought up, I want to know why I can't see these angels. Like, I bet you Miles is the type of person, he probably, because I was looking through some of the pictures you drew me the other day, and they all have to do with angels. I'm like, oh, he's been on this for a long time. Like, I want to see these things that are fighting against me. And when you don't understand that there's this whole war going on around you, you are subject to forget that you're spiritual. We're spiritual people, y'all. The very essence of us, where we come from, who we are, and where we're going. The Bible says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth, right? And then blew in him the breath of life, which we know is the spirit, right? The spirit of man. And it says when we die, the body is going to go back where? To the dust where it came from. And the spirit is going to go back to God who gave it. We're spiritual. If you're living your life as just a mortal person, that everything going on around you is just based on this little bitty finite moment I mean, can you even call it a moment in eternity? We make our decisions, we commit acts, and live our lives based on our understanding of spiritual things or lack thereof. I'm telling you, the decisions we make every day, every moment, are based on our spiritual understanding or lack thereof. Remember, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, you're doing all of this stuff. Don't you know that you are a temple for the living God? Don't you know that you guys are a spiritual house for God to inhabit? So don't you know that? Do you understand? Remember Paul, he prayed. He said, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding be opened up so you understand what's going on here. Now, like I said last week, I don't want to make it seem like everything, just because your toe hurt, that's the devil. And, you know, because you got a leak in your roof, that ain't nothing but the devil. And just because you feel in some kind of way that's just the devil. I'm not saying that every little bad thing is because of the devil. It's not. Sometimes it's just, I'm tired because I only got 2 hours of sleep. You know what I'm saying? That's real. But if we explain everything in a physical world from strictly a physical and a natural standpoint, we're making a grave mistake. We have to understand. So when we talk about angels, the talk of angels is everywhere. Y'all know it. We talk about angels intervening. We talk about how angels, there's evidence of them and all kinds of things, right? We make songs about angels. I know that there are angels all around. So y'all know the song. I got angels watching over me. And they got the hip-hop forms of that, and they got all of that stuff. There's angels everywhere, right? I mean, there's so much talk of it. We got pictures of angels, sculptures of angels. I mean, if you look at it, it's everywhere saying that there's something we can't see, and they actually have a physical depiction of it. Isn't that true? Then there are all the movies. The movies about angels, Angels in the Outfield, Touched by an Angel, cartoons, All Dogs Go to Heaven, Angel Wars. I mean, they're talking about this. And I mean, the list of movies about angels goes on and on and on. And that's just the good angels. Today, it's the bad angels. It's witches. It's warlocks. Y'all watched Supernatural. That's one of Aaron's favorites. Supernatural. That's the good angel. And they all walking around like men, fighting each other. And it's a war going on. I mean, Hollywood is telling us that there's a war going on. Hello. And then one of the latest is this show, Lucifer. Y'all heard that one? So when Lucifer came out, so the Hollywood Reporter, of all publications, the Hollywood Reporter says, angelic characters are as much of a primetime trope as the wacky neighbor or the wisecracking best friend from Michael Landon's soul-saving Jonathan on the 1980s drama Highway to Heaven, to Roma Downey's spiritual guide Monica on Touched by an Angel, to the goofy denizens of the afterlife in NBC's new comedy The Good Place. Anybody watch that one? The Good Place, Micaiah? For ages. However, it seems like they've gone from being divine messengers of God to bitter, petulant teenagers. It goes on to say, we all grew up with the idea that angels are God's children looking down on us. Todd Slavkin, executive producer on Freeform Shadowhunters, tells the Hollywood Reporter, now we're taking the archetype and turning it on its head. Now God's children aren't all that cherubic. Their goals and motives are not in line at all with what we grew up with. You guys may have heard of Yuri Bezmenov. I've mentioned him several times here. But Yuri Bezmenov says that 85% of the world's intelligence is to alter our perception of reality, particularly concerning the spiritual world. If you think about where we're going now, one world government, one world church, one world order, one God that everybody accepts, it all makes sense that there would be somebody working on how we perceive the world that is unseen. The reporter goes on to talk about Shadow Hunters, a TV series, and says, Shadow Hunters follows a band of angel-human hybrids who struggle to put a stake through their own inner demons while hunting down some actual demons. Throughout its 12 seasons, so this was pretty popular, the CW Supernatural has been like a who's who of religious deities gone rogue. The first season of AMC's Preacher featured a pair of English angels who thought nothing of hacking their prey to bits. Then there's Fox's Lucifer, which we just talked about, a show featuring the most notorious biblical anti-hero of all time as a sympathetic figure. So now they're not just showing bad angels as bad angels, but they're trying to get us to be sympathetic toward them. And we know that that's just narcissism, right? Joe Henderson, the producer of this show, Lucifer, this is what he says. He says, my writers are a mix of people of faith, atheists, and agnostics. What's interesting is I find our atheists have a tendency to pitch more of our faith-based stories. For instance, a recent writer debate about whether the loss of a loved one inspires or destroys one's faith ended up as the theme for an episode. And even though present-day TV angels may not be particularly warm and cuddly, Henderson explains, their presence provides more hope in believing angels exist at all, end quote. So shows like these are very misleading. And the sad part about this is more people today are getting their perception of angels, good and bad, and the spiritual world from TV than they are from the Bible. So there's a fight in Hollywood. I don't know if y'all know about these moms that got together and they're trying to get them to correctly represent angels and demons in their TV shows, and they won't back down. They're continuing with the lies to distort our perception of a spiritual world. So they started their own company and they're making their own movies now. And so, okay, so we got it in Hollywood. We have it on YouTube. We have so-called footage of angels caught on tape, right? We love those videos. And five devils walking through the alley. We caught it on CCT. And, I mean, they get 7 million views, you know, when you say, hey, here's a clear presentation of the gospel. It's like 8 views. It's true. But there is talk in the Bible about it, right? Yeah, but Aaron, it's only in the Old Testament. They're not talking about devils in the New Testament. I want to think about this. Where in the Bible is God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit ever consulted with about where angels come from or why they're here? Have you ever thought about the angels appear and no one ever said, what was that? When God told Moses to put cherubs in certain places in the temple, Moses didn't say, Lord, I have but one question, if I will. One question. Yes, Moses. What is a cherub? There's no question. When angels met men and they said, I'm the angel Michael. I am the angel of the Lord. I am the angel. The men didn't run back and say, man, I just saw something called an angel. What's that? Why did they all know exactly what they were? Good angels have been there, as well as bad angels, from the very beginning of our existence. When we think about fallen angels, just in the New Testament alone, and I'll tell you something, Brother Ryan sent me a video, because he's been doing a pretty in-depth study about this too. He sent me a video about this brother named Michael Heiser. I really love this brother. He's good. He's good. He's not just like a theologian. He's a professor of biblical studies and biblical history, knowing the Masoretic texts and the Babylonian texts. And the, I mean, he's way into it. And so he pulls up these Psalms, right? And one of the Psalms was Psalm 91. And we, most of us know this Psalm. And he says, you should neither be afraid of the arrow by day or the terror by night. He says all of the Hebrew scholars, they all agree that that's demonic stuff. That there are actually Psalms that were written, and that there are prayers that were written by David and Solomon to deal with devils. Oh, Brother Aaron, where you get that from? Well, I got it from a very reliable resource. But I tell you, evidence of that would be David playing his harp for Saul, who had an evil spirit. And every time he played that harp, what happened? That evil spirit left him. He'd be like, man, David, I love you. And then David would be like, praise the Lord. I love you too, God's anointed. And then he'd walk away and that something happened. And now he want to kill him again all of a sudden. David would play his harp. Maybe sing a little song. That evil spirit leave him. That's Old Testament. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And this is just verifying. Don't tell me that it's just Hollywood talking about it. And the Bible doesn't. Paul says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Why didn't he dwell on it? Maybe they knew enough about it to know exactly. Yeah, right. Because that's all we're really fighting with here. Our biggest battle is with the unseen world. And God's going to deal with him soon. 1 Corinthians 7:5. Defraud not one another. And he says, if you do the right thing, you'll be okay. But if you don't do the right thing, Satan will tempt you. Satan will get in there by you not doing the right thing. 2 Corinthians 2:10. He says, to whom if you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sake. But this is the point. He says, and I forgave it in the person of Christ, unless Satan should get an advantage over us. So he said, man, there's a connection between unforgiveness and satanic work. We'll go on. 2 Corinthians 4:4, we know the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds. 2 Corinthians 11:13, he says, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Isn't that where I said the symptoms? That's where it starts. To get you away from your devotion to Christ. Oh, Jordan, you killing it, man. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. Listen to this one. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter has tempted you and our labor is in vain. So Paul is saying, basically, I came, all of y'all came up, you came to the Lord. He says, but I had to come back to make sure y'all were in the same place, because I know that tempter is going to come right after me and try to discourage all of y'all. What are we doing here? We're saying that angels and devils are talked about throughout the whole Bible. Hollywood is talking about it. It's in the news. It's everywhere. It's in paintings. It's in sculptures. This is not something that just came up in the New Age. This is age old. It's all over antiquity. And it's in the Bible. James 3:15, telling them when they're doing these evil things, he says, this wisdom does not come from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. Peter tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because what? Your adversary, the devil, is roaming around like a lion trying to find people he can devour. 1 John. John says he that commits sin is of the, it's of the devil. So my point, before you look at this really in your face reality, which is in Revelation, where he says, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Right? It says the devil in Revelation says the devil is going to deceive the whole world and draw men together to a war to fight against the God that sits on the throne. That's some incredible deception, man. That's some incredible deception, that men will actually come together under the deception of the devil to fight against God. It's not going to be a good day. It will be for us. I don't know. You know, I kind of think sometimes we're probably going to be bored on that day. Like, we'll have so much confidence by that time. You know what I'm saying? We fought so many fights in the flesh and we realize what's going on. It's like, oh, they're gathering together. Wake me up when it's over. But they come in at some of y'all still gonna be like, but they come in like, remember what happened when? Right now, God is powerful, right? And so sometimes, and I'm not gonna dwell on this a whole as much as I will next week on this, sometimes people don't understand the nature of the fight. So first, I'm not paying attention to the reality of this fight that's really going on. I'm not staying sober and being vigilant about what I'm going through now. It's a fine line between insanely walking in this, you know, the devil is under that chair, you know, and the devil threw a rock at me, and just staying sober, like a person might cuss you out, but not necessarily just because they're mad and having a bad day. Think about it. Jesus says, it is time for me to go be delivered into the hands of my enemy, right? Peter said what? Oh, be it far from you, Lord. No, that's not going to happen. And Jesus said what to him? Shut up, Satan. I know who's trying to... Nah, I'm not falling for that. Right? See? But who doesn't want to know? I mean, think about it, okay? Two kids in your office. Just pretend you're the principal today. Two kids come in. They huffing, puffing, and sweating. And security officer or teacher got one by this arm and one by that arm and sits them down in front of you. And these kids just got into a squabble. What's your first question? What happened? Why y'all fight? Right? Do we ever say, why are we fighting? What is this fight over? I'm telling y'all, it's real simple. Some people say it's just good against evil. Listen, I'm telling you today, that's misleading. It's not good against evil. Because you can have good without God, and you can have evil without the devil. Even though they both originally, they derive from, good comes from God, and evil comes from Satan. But when you take the person out of it, the personal, that personal thing, no, this is God, the creator, against Satan, the destroyer. God created something. Satan wants to destroy it. He was in a good place with God. We all know that. You all know the scripture where it says in Isaiah 14:9-16. Can you get that, Jordan? Isaiah 14:9-16. And just look at this. If you don't think that Satan is against God, just read these verses. Or if somebody else has it right now, let's hear it.
Hell from the evil is moved from thee to meet thee in thy coming. It stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy prop is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows. The worm is spread unto thee, and the worm is covered thee.
Hold on just a second. See that in verse 11? Your pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of your vials. Do you know what the vials are? Right, vials. That's a musical instrument. Remember we read that in Ezekiel 28. The whole church worldwide agrees that Satan was a cherub who was a musician and all of this other kind of stuff. Same thing. It's talking to the same person in Isaiah 14. Okay, keep going.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down into the ground, which didst weep the nations? But thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble, that did shake peoples?
That's what we're going to stop right there. What is the fight all about? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this. God created somebody a little lower than angels called man. And he's going to, through man, shame the devil that he made in glorious fashion, whose sin was found in, and decided that he was going to rise up against God. So in essence, here's what happened. Satan decided to attempt a coup d'etat against God. And he couldn't perform his coup against God, and now he got people going cuckoo. Because he hates God. He hates you. He hates me. Because he hates the Creator. He hates the one that created us. I'm just telling you. If we keep thinking that the trouble that we go through in our families and on our jobs and in our bodies, that is all just, I mean, it's just all just natural. No, it's not, man. The governments of this world are on their way to shaping the whole world with one mindset, and it don't include God, and they don't even want to talk about Jesus. They don't want Jesus in it at all. We gonna glorify Jesus.
Amen.
Here's what John Piper says. He says, like it or not, the question is not whether you want to be in the war. Everyone is in it. Either we are defeated by the devil and thus following like cattle to the slaughter, the prince of the power of the air, or we're resisting. Resist him firm in your faith. He goes on to say, there is no neutral zone. You either triumph by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, or you will be enslaved by Satan. Therefore, share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And it leads me to my final point about this. So one is you lack understanding that there's a spiritual war that didn't originate from you. You didn't start the war. I didn't start the war. But there's a war over us. And we're caught in the middle. And we're fighting to stay on the right side. And we're fighting to push forward because God's creation, every lost person out there deserves to hear and experience the grace and salvation of Jesus Christ. Every lost person. They deserve it because that's what God created them for. And so we fight to hold our place, to hold the line and go out there. And we're not talking about conquering land and becoming rich in this world. We're talking about conquering people and who have been lost and shamed and sitting in the shadow of death and darkness and bringing them into the real true riches that are in Christ Jesus. That's why we're fighting. Amen. We're not going to get cornered into just trying to make our houses okay. It's just about our address. He said, no, we are sojourners. We are sojourners here. And he said, they that say such things, they seek a country that's not from here. If we make everything this natural thing, I'm telling you, we're just going to have nice little careers, nice little houses, and we're not even in the fight. So, when it comes to fighting, the other point is, why are so many Christians losing? They're just not in condition. You're just not in condition for the battle. Think about it. Take any profession, any person famous you know, and tell me they weren't completely given to what they were doing. Da Vinci, Einstein, Socrates was given to philosophy. I mean, just if you got a football player, I said, man, Pam, I wish it was some kind of way. And I'm going to do this some kind of way. I'm going to make this video. I'm like, I wish I could make a video where I got a soldier all suited up, rifle in hand. And in the background, you hear the noise, the bombs, people screaming and all of this kind of stuff. And you just looking at the sweat on his face. And then slowly as you pan the video around, you see he just sitting there playing a video game. He's just playing. When soldiers, before you become a soldier, you have to become ready in the mind. When you go to the military, they have you in classes and training. It's called boot camp. They got to wash out everything that's outside of that military base, outside of the tenets of that branch of the military. Everything you were used to, everything you did, every way you worked and lived, the way you thought about your purpose in life, that has to be washed out of your mind. Because you're getting ready to become a soldier. And you will, in essence, say, as a soldier, I am not my own. I'm a soldier in the United States military. And until you get to that place, you're not ready for a battle. And they will tell you, until you learn how to dwell in these barracks with your brothers, because these are no longer just friends or people you met on the street. These are your brothers. Until they know that they can trust you with their life, you're not ready for a battle. Until you are ready to lay down your life for your brother and you understand you don't leave the wounded on the field. Until you understand that whatever it takes, if you have to carry your brother up a mountain because he's wounded, whatever you got to do, until you are in that mindset, you're not ready to be called a soldier. Military men are military minded so they can get into a war. Spiritual people have to be spiritually minded so we can fight a spiritual war. If you're not spiritually minded, if you just chalk everything up to some natural cause and you just don't like her because of what she said and you don't understand that there's a whole unseen world with a strategy against you to make you something that God didn't create you to be, so you live defeated and without the blessings that are freely given to you through Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. Most Christians are suffering one of the great deceptions. This deception is not just Satan doesn't exist. This deception isn't about who Jesus is or who God is. This deception is more than just about who you are. This deception is just be good. But having a conscience toward God can make you do good things, but it doesn't make you a warrior. You can do good things. Give out your money to the poor, and you can go and lay down your life, and you can even forgive people and go to church every Sunday and serve, you know. You can do all of that stuff, but that doesn't make you in the war. A conscience toward God is still not completely spiritually minded concerning the war that's going on around you. And we see so many Christians that just want to be good. I just want to be better. I don't want to sin. I don't want to miss my blessings. But when it's saying, when it's time for you to pick up your rifle, when it says take up the sword of the Spirit, when it's saying take unto you the whole armor of God, not to sit down and play video games and listen to the war outside, but to actually go out there and do the work of the Lord as a warrior of Jesus Christ. What a shame it would be for us to simply get saved and allow people to stay lost. In our family, on our jobs, next door, walking down the street, just let them stay lost. I'm on my way to church. I'm on my way to the prayer fellowship. Look at me. I'm doing the godly thing. So, Jesus says, lay down your life. The United States government says when you come to any one of their branches of the military, you got to lay down your life. Give me that cell phone. Tell your mama bye. Tell your friends you're getting ready to go to your family. And if you can't make it to the alteration of your mental mindset for this, we're going to send you home. You don't go any further. Why does the church let people just keep going? And you know they ain't sold out. And then we can't wonder why so much mess in the church. It's because it ain't full of soldiers. Oh, but the church is just a place, a hospital for hurt people. But, okay, get them, help them get together. Get their armor on and get them going. Don't let them just sit there and stay the same way. So Romans says to be carnally minded is death. What does that mean? If your thinking is locked to this world, it's death. Why are so many Christians suffering? Believing? Because they're carnally minded. They're only thinking about this life. It says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'm going to leave you just with one challenge as you walk out of here today. Are you spiritually minded? I'm not talking about the spooky. I'm not talking about the scary. I'm not going to say it's not radical and fanatical, because it is. But with wisdom, you can navigate this life as a radical. And you don't have to make yourself look like a fool. Are you living a spiritually minded life? Are you simply trying to be good and escape hell and get your blessings, and you just want your life here to be good? That wouldn't work in the United States military. Are we demanding that God let it work for him? Are we demanding that God allows us to take on the name of the Lord? claim all these blessings, primarily eternal life and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, but the mandate that comes with the name and the blessing, we ignore it. We're in a war. We have responsibilities. And there's a strategy in that war for not only for me to be victorious, but for that victory to emanate through my life. I'll just let you think about that. If you have not been spiritually minded, this is where we're going. Because just as well as there's a strategy against us, there's a strategy for us. Amen. And this is where we're beginning. First, let me get my mind. For some of y'all, it's like, it's pretty. And for some of y'all, it's just like, right, that's what I need to get back. My focus, yes, I'm God's. I know I'm saved. I haven't forgot who the Savior is. I'm not lost. That's just the devil trying to take me out of the war. I'm back. I'm in this. Let's go. Let's get it. And so from here, we're going to start looking at, okay, so now how do we build on this foundation for a strategy to actually go out there and punch some devils in the face? All right. And we won't be able to see them, Miles. That's hypothetically. All right. What y'all thinking right now? I see some grit in some of y'all teeth. Like, I see some grit. I see some concern. What y'all thinking? Anybody? Any questions at this point?
One more to
do. Okay. What do you mean by that?
Most of us have been Christians for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Never probably heard a sermon like this or thought that if we had on that road, we would love it.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I want you to get excited because as you heard those symptoms, you know, don't think that God doesn't care about your life. You know, don't think that he doesn't care about what's going on at your address. He's just saying your address can't be your God. I will tell you what I told you last week. One thing that Oswald Chambers taught me in his writing was he just pointed out a very simple scripture that Jesus sent his disciples in all kinds of places. And when he sent them, he went into their cities and ministered. He would just point out, yeah, I got a mission for you, but just know that you leave your mission and get on my mission. I'll take care of what you can on your own. So don't think that he's saying lay down your life and you're just going to suffer your whole life. But you do have to take on the mindset that I'm in the military. I got to lay down everything. And from there, God begins a work at my address. He does. He really does. I just don't like to make that your goal. Well, I'm only joining because I just want God to take care of my problems. Nope. All right. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you today.